it's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 18th of November, 2017. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. The show is brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road in Oneroa. On Saturday, the 18th of November, Brent Simpson talked to playwright Alan Knight and high school theatre teacher Monica Manning about Alan's play Puddle Duck Hall, soon to be performed at the school. And he spoke with bluesman Paul Ubana-Jones ahead of his upcoming artworks show.
First guests on this morning, I've got Alan Knight and Monica Manning. Monica,
are
you there? And they're going to be talking about a play that Alan has written that Monica is going to assist students from Waiheke High School to put on very shortly, I imagine. The name of the play is Puddle...
name of the play is Puddle Duck Hall. Now, I'm a little gobsmacked at the moment because I think it was at least a couple of months ago that Monica and I were sitting talking about this, and she said, oh, I'm sort of looking for a play we can do with kids. And I said, well, I've got one. I wrote it years and years ago.
Yeah.
We put it on at Artworks Theatre back in, I think, 2003, something like that. And I said, I'll dig it out for you, see what you think.
Yeah.
So I found the script, gave it to her, and we hadn't actually discussed any further on it until yesterday. She messaged me and said, well, we're putting the play on. Do you want to come on the radio and talk about it? Oh, surprising. Righto.
So what's the, I mean, what was, is it a kids
It is indeed
play?
A kids thing. Now, it actually came about back in 2003. I was running a children's drama workshop for Kaleidoscope. And we had a particularly lively group of kids in doing this course. And as is always the way with these things, we thought, well, let's actually put on a performance. So I said to the kids, we'll write something. What would you like it to be about?
Yeah.
And I was expecting, oh, it's going to be want to be about dinosaurs or something like that. But no, they all went Doll's House. Definitely got to be about a Doll's House. Righto. So I went away and came up with this play. I think it takes about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And the gist of it is, it's an Edwardian Doll's House made for a little girl 100 years before.
Yeah.
And she put all her dolls in it and played with it through her childhood. But then she grew up and the Doll's House got stuck up in the attic of the house and forgotten about. But the dolls inside it are just continuing their sort of cheerful,
right,
sepia-toned Edwardian life.
It's like a proto-Toy Story.
Yeah. And one day, the doll's house is found, and it's brought back down into the nursery and given to a little girl of today, and all her Barbie dolls move in as well. They're not actually called Barbie dolls in the script. I came up with a different name.
Right.
But it's about how dolls from 100 years ago react with dolls from today. And
I see. So both dolls are present in this.
Yes. Suddenly the Edwardian dolls find that they have modern dolls moving in with them.
Right.
And it's about how they all... how the world of 100 years ago contrasts with the world of today.
And so, Monica, you had a read of this play. What was your gut reaction to the play when you first read? You hadn't seen its first incarnation, had you?
No, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't. Well, they love doing toys. Like, the kids love playing dolls and toys and toy boxes and things like that. So I thought it would be perfect for the Year 9s.
Yep.
Normally we don't do a production with the Year 9s, but I had an inquiry thing to do at school, and so I pushed the kids. Yep. Last rotation we did Bad Jelly the Witch, and then this second half rotation was like, yay, what are we doing for our play? And I'm like, oh, okay, you want to do a play too, right? Alan, so yeah, they love it. They love it, and I love it too. It's like fantastic. It is, you know, a sociological study in modernism, really.
Yeah. So I mean, how many kids are involved? How many dolls do you need? Or
I think that the entire cast comes to something like 15 or 16 kids.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, and you're going to see, where are you going to put this on? What's
the plan of attack?
Yeah.
Well, the demographic, if I'm allowed to use that boring term, is probably like 3 or 4 year olds to like 8, 9 year olds.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're going to have it at 6 o'clock at night.
Hmm.
we might have it as like a pajama party because it is quite late for those little, even those little kids. They probably go to bed at 7:30 or something. It is only 45 minutes long, so it will be finished by 6:45. And it's going to be at the high school hall.
What's
on, on the 6th of December at 6 o'clock.
So just one showing, that's it?
One showing.
One showing.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how old is this play, Alan?
Oh, I'd say about 15 years old.
Yeah.
And as I say, I'm still surprised that it had gone ahead. I hadn't realised. But then it is traditional in the theatre that the writer is the last person to be told anything.
Right.
I mean, so that's, Monica is sticking absolutely to true theatre.
Have you been involved in any other way since you've handed over the script?
No. But that, as I say, that is traditional.
Well, and we did actually have a little chat, Alan, remember, about...
Oh, true, about small rewrites and stuff.
It
never went any further. But that's fine. having seen Monica in action before working in theatre with children, I have absolute faith in her ability to do it properly.
Yep. And you say that, Monica, that the kids have responded to it quite well. I mean, you had a couple of read-throughs, and what was their kind of initial feedback?
Yeah, no, they totally took to it like a puddled duck to water. See what I did there? Made it.
So are there male dolls in there as well?
Yes, yeah. The original group of kids that I wrote it for, as is quite usual in anything involving theatre, girls are going to outnumber boys. They always do. They do in adult theatre groups as well. Right. Women have got way more sense when it comes to theatre. It's like, yes, let's go and do that.
Yeah.
Men don't always want to go and do theatre.
No.
Like, oh, no, I'm not too sure about that. Whereas women just plunge straight in, which is why most theatre groups tend to be fairly female-dominated, which is why it's good there are more and more plays being written that have more women in them, because that's frankly what you're going to need to do. In this case, I think the original lineup of kids that we had in this group was something like 12 girls and 4 boys or something like that. So that's the way we ran it.
So have you ever considered like publishing this play? I mean, yourself, or is it just something that you're going to keep in the drawer?
I suppose so. I have a tendency when I do projects like that to get all excited, put it on, and then just go, right, that one's done, then just forget about it and move on to the next thing.
Any other kids? Have you written any other kids? Kids things since then?
Well, I was involved in writing 2 pantomimes in the years shortly after that, most of which involved quite a number of children. Writing for children is always quite funny. Because you have to get that balance of the children themselves have to get the humour or pathos of whatever you're writing. But also, that it has to be done in such a way that the adults who will invariably be coming along to see this are going to find some charm and delight in it as well.
Yeah. I suppose it's... I suppose you see that lots in the kids' films, you know, you go to, but there's also a layer for the adults in there
absolutely
as well.
Absolutely. It's vital that it be there.
All right, then. So let's just recap when the performance is going to be on. December 6th, right? Which is what day? Do you know what day that is?
I think it's a Wednesday.
Sure. I might be able to have a look real quick. December 6th is a... That's correct. It's a Wednesday at the Waiheke High School Hall, 6 p.m. Mm. You're going to have a koha or you got a cost?
I don't know. I haven't actually thought about that.
Yeah.
Well, I want like as many people to come, so I don't. Sure. So probably more of like a koha than a ticket price because it's it's for the community rather than for making money.
And right. Expect high cuteness levels.
Oh, so cute! So just to recap on what Alan said about gender politics in the theatre, there's this one guy that was going to be Edward, who is an old doll, and he was really shy, and he just really didn't want to act, and so he's a really good musician. So now what we've got him doing is he's going to be like a one-man orchestra on the side, creating all the sound effects and like footsteps man kind of idea, but also with like lots of children's toy instruments and stuff. So and we've got some dancers from Emma Louise, and they're choreographing little.
And who's playing the narrator?
Ocean, Marion's daughter. She's at the creche, so that, you know, tied in. And we made her a nice big book to read from. And
lovely.
Yeah. And as far as the set goes, is it kind of just a fairly minimalistic set?
Oh, the
or
set is off the hook.
Really?
Yeah. So we've got this girl at school called Becky, and she's comes from a long line of artists, and she's really, really talented. And so she's painted dolls' houses and blocks, and she's made a stove, and she's like, she's just incredible.
The set was always meant to be the most of the downstairs of the dolls' house.
Okay, yeah.
Entrance hall, living room,
writing desk for Arabella,
desk and a bedroom.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's really vibrant. She's done a fantastic job. But the thing is also that blows my head off is that the kids from the first half of the year rotation all want to be involved as well.
Oh, yeah.
So they come in at lunchtimes and help paint and organise stuff. And, yeah, I've never had that before.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, the year nines are amazing at school. They are really cool.
Right.
But it's really heartwarming.
Yeah, to see. Do you think they respond to the fact that it's written by somebody local as well? Is that
well, I do. So I think they do, yeah.
Any kind of, like, Waiheke references in it?
No,
not at all. Oh,
no, they just didn't seem that appropriate. Besides, you know, I wanted the play to have a slightly wider appeal than something for Waiheke.
I see there's been a new Barbie doll come out with a headdress as well. So Barbie seems to be trying to keep up with the times.
Well, that was always the point with the Barbie dolls and the ones in the play. Mm. There's a rock and roll Barbie, there's a horse riding Barbie, and then there are two...
that's the best, the career ones.
Two career Barbies, where mum and dad got their wires crossed for Christmas present. What a Christmas that was. What is the other ones? And then there's the little bendy ones.
Alan wrote the bendies for specific performers in mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, we had three very, very gymnastic little girls
right.
who were slightly smaller than the rest, so I turned them into these special little ones who can tie themselves in knots and remove their own heads and things like that.
So we don't have that.
You don't have the bendy ones.
No, we don't. I think
that kind
cowboy.
Of flexibility is gone.
Corey. It's Corey, and he's playing a cowboy.
Not that flexible, Corey. Well, that's good. So just one more time, December 6th at the Waiheke High School. Presumably the best way to find out more about this is check out the Waiheke High School Facebook page, because we will be putting it up on that. Thank you, too, for coming in. Sounds really good, actually. I'm really interested to go now.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Sounds like a good story. So thanks for coming in, and we will hopefully see you there. Thanks,
yes,
Monica.
Thank you, always.
Have a good day.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
We've got Paul Urbana-Jones on the phone at the moment, so we should take care of that. Paul, how are you? Well, I'm not even sure where you are.
I'm actually we're staying with some friends here in Auckland.
Oh, okay.
And got a few days off, and then I resume the rest of my tour during midweek.
Yeah, you still there, Paul? I can't hear anything.
Yeah, can you hear me? We seem to have gone down in volume.
Yeah, we've gone down in volume. I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so, yeah, nowhere too exotic. I thought you might be like in, you know, exotic Fittianga or somewhere.
Yeah, looking forward to coming back on the island. I haven't played it for some time.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember the last time you were here?
I think it was playing. I think it was 2 years ago.
A couple of years. I think you might have played at Charlie Farley's down on Onatungi Beach or something.
Oh, that was a bit longer than that, yeah. But I do remember those gigs at Charlie's.
Yeah. So I was having a look at your website. You're quite, you've got quite an extensive journey on your hands these last couple of months anyway. You're sort of going up and down the country.
That's right. Yeah, that's the name of the game, really. That's what I do. And although it might appear to be, you know, extremely tiring on paper.
Yeah.
You know, if you know why you're doing it and the focus is all in order, you know, you get into it and time just zips by as usual.
Does it? Yeah, I mean, how many days a year do you reckon you're actually out on the road?
Yeah, I think a good 100 to 120. I've cut it down, actually.
Yeah. And I see you've got a booking agent in Europe, so presumably you're popping over there in the warmer months there.
That's right. I do that once, sometimes twice a year, depending if there's festivals included. If it's just solo gigs on a tour, then it's once a year.
Right. Okay. So, So you're going to be popping over to us next Sunday, and what could people expect from the show here at Artworks?
Well, I guess my thoughts are it's going to emphasize back to my roots, which right. will be including originals and including, you know, the stuff that's indelibly influenced my style and who I am musically.
Right.
So I'll include a kind of history of my roots, you know, my Afro roots off Nigeria. So that yeah. includes some dance grooves. And also my Brit roots, because my mother was English.
Yeah, yeah.
So the acoustic roots scene that influenced me during the 60s.
Right. So one of the Africans. So have you been? Is this something that you've been mining a little bit lately, or have you always kind of been there in the back of your mind?
No, it's always been in the back of my mind since I was, since I took up the guitar. Really, it comes through. I either push it in a bigger kind of framework of a program or a tour, or I leave it to just remain as a subtle kind of thread and influence.
Yeah, yeah.
I seem to sit well with that. You know, I don't have to exclaim my Afro roots in strong terms. I think it's how people see me and how they feel that my music is. So I feel quite at one with that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've been living in New Zealand since the 1980s, correct?
Yeah, we came in 87, that's right.
I mean, I was sort of curious. I mean, for a full-time professional musician, in some ways New Zealand wouldn't be an ideal place to settle, would it?
Well, it was ideal in as much as we came from Switzerland, Brent, with two kids, you know, sort of sub-5-year-olds.
And, yeah, yeah.
And when we landed here, it was just like a breath of fresh air. It was an embrace and... It was the beginnings of a new start for us, and it just felt good. And we, along the way, had another two kids, so 4 kids grew up here, basically, me playing music.
Yeah.
And then later on, my wife going back to restudy and take up one of the areas that's always interested her. So it seemed to work on the family level, it worked out, and on a musical professional level, I knew it would be hard yakka because of the touring factor required.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
No name, who is this guy? And in the 80s, New Zealand was very band-orientated. I think the soloistic factor had come after the 90s onwards, you know. So, that's what you do, really. No regrets.
Yeah, yeah, well, it seems to have worked out for you. And any of your kids followed in your musical footsteps?
Yes, my eldest has. He's in a band in Europe, and he tours the world.
Wow.
We get messages from him from Brazil, festivals he's playing, the States or Finland. He's doing death metal. He's a duo. He plays 7- and 10-string guitar, him and a drummer.
Yeah.
So they've got a very unique sound. Because they're a two-piece in the death metal genre.
What's their name?
They're called Bolzer, B-O-L-Z-E-R.
Yeah.
And he's doing well, so he's followed. All the other three girls are musical.
Yeah.
One, the youngest of the three girls, plays guitar, but not on a professional level.
Yeah.
Very talented, but I don't think she trusts the music industry to want to try and pursue it. She's not mad.
So where's the furthest down? You going to the South Island this time?
Oh yes, I am. I'm in Invercargill on this tour, so and I'll work my way up from there.
Yeah,
I'm playing at a repertory theatre in Invercargill.
Wow.
And it'll bring me, I think the furthest point in this tour will be doubtless Bay, Oruru, in Northland. So Invercargill to Oruru, that's not a bad trip.
That sounds pretty good. And then a little break for Christmas, presumably, and then back out.
Oh, no, that swamps over into the January tour to get that far north.
Okay, yeah.
There is some sanity behind it, it's not madness.
Well, so you're going to be, we will see you on Sunday the 26th of October here at our little Artworks Theatre in Aotearoa.
Yeah,
and Yeah, anything else you want to tell the tell listeners today?
7:30 start, so it's you know, quite early start, because school goes back the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday. School goes back Monday morning. You can either book your tickets on Under the Radar or come with cash on the night and pay on the door.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. It's a beautiful little theatre. That's me telling people out the suck eggs that live in Waiheke Island. They know that theatre, yeah. And I just know my acoustic sound. My sound, my music will be well-placed for a nice intimate setting.
You're right. Okay. Well, that's great. Yes. Thanks. Hey, thanks a lot for talking to us this morning, Paul. And we hope a lot of people get down there on next Sunday to catch you playing. Hey, have a great rest of the week. And we'll hopefully see you on Sunday. Man. Yep. Cheers,
yeah,
Paul.
Thanks for your call, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Paul. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Okay, we're going to. That was Paul Urbana Jones, who's going to be playing at Artworks next Sunday at 7:30. You can grab tickets probably on the door or Under the Radar. I'll play a Paul Urbana Jones track. This one is called Raga, a Bird Without a Song, by Paul Urbana Jones.
just one other day, a sweet bird was set down free and began to fly. She didn't have no time to sing that sweet song of freedom. She flew at night. Wasn't that the way for all of us to take this bird and to teach her a song? Wasn't that a really very, very bad day when she sang her song in one empty room and no words, no words. Many times I know you prayed to set your sweetheart upon the rising sun, but did it ever shine? Well, did it ever once will kiss your lips, maybe walk you home? Wasn't that the way? The greatest sin is to be so near, but yet so far. Wasn't that a really very, very bad day when she sang that song in one empty room and no words, no words could come out? Sweet bird, love the song.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7pm and Thursdays at 12:30pm. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onewarua.